Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Ezekiel 33:11, titled God's Six Reasons for Not Remaining Spiritually Dead. Or, as the text says, why will ye die? In this first part of the message, Dr. Beakey will speak of how God motivates people to turn back to Him by His hopeful warning, His clear command, and His astonishing pleasure, that He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from His way. As you listen, may the Spirit give you a heart to turn to the Lord.
Dear congregation, doctors often have to communicate to their patients difficult news. Sometimes they have to use that dreaded word, cancer, which overwhelms many who hear it. The doctor also points out that many cancers are cured. And yet some people have a very hard time believing that. In fact, there are people who sometimes when they hear they have cancer, lose the will to live. They just give up. It's almost as if they have a death wish. Well, that is true in two other important areas as well. With regard to the sanctity of life, there can be people that reject it. And when they hear they're pregnant, they rush to an abortion clinic. They actually have a death wish. And more than 60 million babies have been killed in their mother's womb legally in the last 46 years in the United States of America alone. And that's only a fairly small portion of what's going on worldwide. Millions upon tens of millions and hundreds of millions of babies have been killed through this tragic death wish. And so much of that behind the scenes is promoted by our promiscuous society and illegitimate sexual relations. The problem of our day, seen here, seen in all other kinds of illegitimate sexual activities outside of God-ordained marriage, is simply this, that every man wants to do that which is right. No. Wants to do that which he wants to do in his own eyes. We're living, in other words, in the day of the judges, where people have rights to do, they think, whatever they want to do, never mind the law book of the Most High God. And yet there's another kind of death wish. A death wish that is spiritual, where people choose to remain spiritually dead, even though they're offered an alternative, just like a pregnant woman going to an abortion clinic is offered the alternative. You can bring this child to birth. You could adopt this child. This child can live. If you're in very unfortunate circumstances, there's a way out. So there's a way out spiritually. You can live. You can live. You don't have to keep going on spiritually dead. That's the message of Ezekiel 33. And that's the message I want to bring you this morning. You don't have to go on being spiritually dead. So I want to look with you at Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So with God's help, I want to look with you at this theme this morning, God's six reasons for not remaining spiritually dead. His hopeful warning, his clear command, his astonishing pleasure, his persuasive oath, his provided Savior, his earnest pleading. Six reasons God gives us in these few words why we do not need to remain spiritually dead. Why will you die? That's a solemn question. That's a solemn question, not only for unconverted people sitting here this morning. It's a solemn question even for God's people. Everything I'm going to say this morning, just about, applies to you as well, because we can turn back to our old ways, and we need to turn around again from every backsliding way, because backsliding ways lead to death as well. Maybe not our eternal spiritual death, but they lead to the dying of righteousness in our soul that this whole passage is focusing on. And so, the special message, however, comes this morning to those who are settling for spiritual death. Like someone who gets cancer and says, well, I'm just going to die. I might as well give up. There's no hope for me. I'm just going to go on and put my heart, put my life in this world. A kind of weary despair. Some of you are that way. You say, well, I've grown old sitting in the church. I still don't know the Lord. It seems like there's no hope for me. And so you just kind of settle in that you're going to die unprepared. But what a solemn thing that is. But that's exactly, you see, what Israel was doing here in Ezekiel 33. God comes and says to Ezekiel, you must go and you must warn the people to flee from the wrath to come, to repent and turn from their sins and turn to me and I will have mercy upon them. And if you warn them, Ezekiel, and they do repent, you've been an instrument to save their soul. If you don't warn them, and they don't repent, their blood I will require at your hand, Ezekiel, even though you will be saved, Ezekiel, I'll hold you guilty for their blood. And then the third option, Ezekiel, if you do warn them and they still don't repent, if you're a faithful watchman in the house of Israel and they still don't repent, then their blood I will not require at your hand, but all their blood will rest on their own account. That's what God is saying to Ezekiel. And so when Ezekiel then feels compelled to warn the people out of love for their never dying soul, the people respond. Did you notice that? In verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak. So this is the response of the people to Ezekiel's warnings. This is what they say to Ezekiel. If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? So here's what the people are saying. We're in Babylon. We can't bring ourselves to Israel. We can't return to Jerusalem. We're helpless. We're hopeless. We can't do anything to deliver ourselves. Our sins and our transgressions are upon us. We might as well just live out our life this way. Because how shall we live? We're trapped. We just can't do it. And that may be exactly how you feel this morning. My sins are upon me. I can't convert myself. I can't even turn myself. And my sins are upon me, and I'm pining away. How shall I live? How shall I truly, spiritually become alive? I'm dead. I'm hard. I'm cold. That's the question they ask. Now, what is the answer? Well, how does God respond to that question? Does God say, well, you're right. There's nothing that can be done. You're in a hopeless situation. You just have to wait to see if I might do something in your life. Is that the answer? No, it's not. Here's the answer. Go and say to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? You see, God reverses the question. They say, we can do nothing but die. And God says, given the kind of God that I am, who offers grace freely to you, why will you die? I'm far more willing to save you than you are to be saved, in other words. So God responds in kind. They say, how shall we live? And God says, why shall you die? And in these words, God gives six reasons why. Six reasons from within himself why you do not have to die spiritually forever. First reason is this. His hopeful warning. Verse 11 is actually a warning, but it's a loving warning. It's a hopeful warning. You see, warning is regarded by most of us, I suppose, most of the time as something negative, something unpleasant. We identify warning with sternness, with threatening. We don't smile when we warn people. But warning is a loving thing to do when people need to turn their lives around. A mother who warns her little child not to touch a hot plate or a naked flame loves her child. The purpose is positive, not negative. This is God's purpose in Ezekiel 33. It's positive. He's encouraging his people to turn around, to face him, to repent of their sin before it's too late. A number of years ago, we rode through Glacier National Park. Well, we did several times, but one time in particular, it struck me how many signs there were on the road about the dangers of the narrow, twisting road going up the mountains with the steep drop-offs on the side of the road in Montana. The scenery was spectacular, but the roads were dangerous, and there were warning signs everywhere. Sometimes there'd be a just a a sign with a curve that the road was going to go like that. And 15 miles an hour around the curve. Warning. This road is very dangerous. Now, what would happen if those Montana state authorities would take down all those signs and have no warnings whatsoever? That would be cruel. People would drive off the side of the road and go tumbling down hundreds of feet and die. I remember as well getting out at one of the scenic spots, standing on the edge and looking down hundreds of feet. There's no signs on the way down. I remember thinking, that's interesting. All the signs are on the road. There are no signs on the way down. Because once you start down, then it is hopeless, isn't it? You can't pull yourself back up. Well, you and I are alive sitting here today. We're still on the road of life. And God gives us warning signs before we go down into the abyss of hell to turn and live. And so God here gives us this kind of sign. This is a road sign hung right in our face this morning. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in your death. Turn while you are yet physically alive, for why will you die? It's a hopeful warning. He says in verse 7, so thou, son of man, I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Warn them from me. Now, that's a picture, of course, that everyone in Israel would understand. A watchman was on the city tower, and when the people were out in the fields, the watchman could see an enemy coming that the people couldn't see, coming over the horizon. And he would blow the trumpet, and the people would hear the warning, and they would run inside the city and be safe. There was time to be safe. Well, that's what God is saying here. I'm still giving you time. I'm giving you time even in 2019. I'm giving you time today. I'm digging and dunging about the fig tree of your life once more. I'm warning you, calling you lovingly. There's still time. Turn before it's too late, before you start going down. There comes a time when it can be too late even in this life, when you lose your mind through dementia, or you're in so much pain you can't think about spiritual things. So God warns us now, while we're relatively healthy, turn ye, settle your accounts with me, make right your soul with me by my grace, now, before it's too late. The second reason we don't need to remain spiritually dead is not only because God gives us hopeful warnings, but he also gives us clear commands. Clear commands. We don't expect road signs of warning to be complicated, do we? When you're in Glacier National Park, the road sign doesn't say, come closer and read 2 pages of fine print before you go around the corner. The road sign is right in your face. It's clear, 15 miles an hour. Or warning, falling rock. That's very clear, isn't it? Now, the falling rock road sign is a more complicated one because you don't know what to do about it. What does falling rock mean? Does it mean I'm supposed to speed up? Does it mean I'm supposed to slow down? But you see, here, God's road sign is extremely clear. It's just one word. And it's big and it's in your face. Turn. Turn. Which means 180 degrees. Instead of following your ways, you're back to God. Turn around. Face God. Live in Coram Deo. Live in the presence of God. And if you don't turn, God says you'll die. You'll die in your iniquity. And you'll go to hell. So the warning couldn't be clearer. God is as plain can be. Turn. You must turn from your evil ways. You must turn from your sins. You must turn from your disobedience to God's commandments. You must turn from your neglect of God. You must turn from all of this, from your selfishness, your pride, your greed, your anger, your deceit, your lying, your jealousy. You must turn your back on sin, and you must turn to the living God. You must turn to His book. You must seek salvation with your whole heart. There's no other way to get to heaven without turning. Turn and live, for why will you die? It's very clear. Young people, if you want to really live, you need to turn. Seniors, if you want to really live, you need to turn. Boys and girls, if you want to really live, you need to turn. To turn to God. No one else can do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your pastor, your elders can't do it for you. You need to turn. The text says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? But then there's a third reason why we don't need to remain spiritually dead, and that's because of God's astonishing pleasure. The text says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's amazing. A holy, perfectly righteous God has no pleasure in the just death of a wicked sinner like you and me, as we all are by nature? It's astonishing. If God is holy and hates sin, wouldn't He take pleasure in sending us to hell? No, says God. I have zero pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, maybe in your life, you've thought at times that God has no interest in you. You've cried and you've prayed and you've striven and you've opened the Bible and you've come to church and you just seem to get no answers. It doesn't seem like God communicates with you. You think that God is indifferent, or maybe God is angry with you. But God says, no, I have no pleasure in your death. I'm not indifferent. My pleasure is that you would repent, that you would turn and live. You see, the devil always wants us to think that God does not desire our salvation, that God is against us in some way, that His preeminent attribute is justice and He wants to destroy us, rather than that He delights in mercy. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, said, mercy is His darling attribute, what He delights in. Judgment is His strange work. He's like a bee, Watson said, like a big bumblebee. He stings only when He's provoked. His delight is salvation. His pleasure is salvation. You see, that's what He tells us here again. And so when you think, well, God doesn't care about me, so therefore there's no need me seeking Him, it's hopeless. You see, this is the way Israel reasoned. But they were a covenant people of God. They had wrong conceptions of God. And you see, when you think that way, you're doing the same thing. You're having a wrong conception of God. God tells you how He feels about your death. It's not me talking. It's God talking. I, saith the Lord, have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It doesn't please me. Sometimes the death of the wicked might please us. Sometimes somebody does something terrible in society. Maybe that's a terrorist and he kills 60 people and wounds 300. And you feel a righteous anger against that person. And when that person is sentenced to death, you say, good, he deserves it. But God says, this is amazing. The holy God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Do you believe that? That God delights to see turning sinners, sinners coming to him. What pleases him is when the wicked turn from his way and live. Now, it's really quite easy to prove that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, even in a natural way, because I'm standing here and you're sitting here this morning. If God had pleasure in the death of the wicked, we would all been dead long ago. Physically dead. Not just spiritually dead. It's just God's incredible mercy that God has such patience with us. And then for those of us who are saved, that he worked through in us is nothing less than a wonderful miracle, but he's in the miracle working business. This is what God delights to do. This is God's pleasure, to save sinners, to do this miracle for you. But for those of you who are yet unsaved, you need to understand the world itself is a monument of the patience of God. That God would still tolerate this world with all its sin is amazing. And when you see your own sin, you'd say the same thing. That God is so patient with me that this world of iniquity that lies within me, that he would allow me to walk over the dust of this earth as dust upon the earth is absolutely astonishing. When I have never truly sought after God, when I've broken his law 10,000 times, he, no pleasure in my death? This is astonishing pleasure. Astonishing pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."